The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Now it's time to think and discern. This is Bob Burney Live.
How important is a moral foundation, sometimes called a moral compass? How important? Almost all important, and our moral foundation is very, very quickly crumbling as a nation. Hey, welcome to Bob Burney Live, whether you're listening in Columbus, Ohio, or whether you're listening in Tampa, Florida. It is my privilege to be your host this afternoon. Thank you, thank you, thank you for joining me. My telephone number is 877 Bob Live. 877-262-5483. I say this often on my program. There are few things more important than a biblical worldview. I mean, few things more important than a biblical worldview. Now, let me explain just quickly a broad summary of the two major worldviews. I suppose there are dozens of worldviews, but they boil down basically into two primary worldviews. There is the biblical worldview. The biblical worldview begins in the Garden of Eden. It begins with the truth of Scripture. It begins with Adam and Eve. Yes, I am a wild-eyed, crazy religious fanatic that actually believes in a literal creation, Adam, Eve, Garden of Eden. Yeah, I do believe that is literal. I don't believe it's allegorical. I don't think it's a fairy tale. No, it's history. And a biblical worldview begins with Adam and Eve in a perfect garden, a perfect state, absolutely innocent, no sin. And because of no sin, they simply would have lived forever, and they had this marvelous relationship with their Creator. The Bible says that they talked in the garden. I really believe that Adam and Eve could somehow sense the presence of God. I'm not sure how, because the Bible doesn't tell us, but I believe they could hear his voice. Can you imagine actually hearing the voice of God in a conversational manner? And there were no thou shalt nots, well, except one. There weren't dozens. There certainly weren't 10. There were no 10 commandments. God basically told Adam and Eve, you can do anything you want to anytime you want to. This garden is for your pleasure. In fact, this whole planet is for your pleasure. The beautiful animals, the beautiful plants and flowers and nature, it's all for your pleasure. Enjoy it. And I will enjoy you. Oh, there's one thing. That tree in the middle of the garden, that belongs to me. Everything else is yours, and you can enjoy it, but that tree is mine. Now, let me chase a quick rabbit here. God always reserves something for himself to remind us of who he is, always. God gives us 7 days in a week. He reserves one for himself. God gives us wonderful material possessions, and he just asked for 10%. 90% ours, 10% his. God always reserves something for himself. And he did so in the Garden of Eden with the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God said, don't eat it. He didn't say don't touch it. That's what the serpent said. But he said, in the day you eat thereof, you will surely die. So that's the beginning of a worldview, a biblical worldview, but it very quickly changes. The serpent comes, and of course he was not a slithering snake at that time. He was probably the most beautiful animal in all of God's creation. And he, Satan, in the person of this creature, comes and confronts Eve. Does not try to convince Eve that God didn't exist. How foolish would that be? About as foolish as trying to convince people today that there is no God. To look at nature, to look around us, and then say, this all happened by accident. About as foolish, but there are some who believe that. Anyway, Satan did not try to convince Eve that God didn't exist. He did not try to convince Eve that God had not spoken, because she had heard his voice. He simply questioned the authority of God. Yea, hath God said? Did God really say? You know, Eve, God's holding out on you. God's holding out on you. You know why he doesn't want you to touch that tree? Now again, Satan added to the word of God, and then Satan questioned the word of God, and Satan said, you know the real reason? If you eat that fruit, you'll be just like him. You'll be like God. That's why he doesn't want you to eat it, and you're not going to really die. So the ultimate question, did God really mean what he say and say what he meant, and would there be real consequences if the word of God was disobeyed? Well, you know the story. Eve took of the fruit, gave to her husband. By the way, he was not deceived. That's another whole sermon. But Eve was deceived. Adam was not deceived. In fact, many commentators honestly believe, and I'm in that camp, that Adam knew that because his wife had eaten, she would eventually die. And if he didn't eat, he would not. And he ate of the fruit so that he could be with his wife, even in death. First real love story, till death do us part. That's in Scripture. Anyway, death entered the world. Most of you know Romans chapter 5. And so death entered into the world. So all men died. And so a biblical worldview begins with mankind in a perfect setting, living eternally, but quickly it turns completely. Sin enters the world. Death enters into the world. And condemnation comes into the world. And mankind is separated from God and under the condemnation of God. So a biblical worldview is without a doubt a proof of the fallen nature of man. Man is fallen. Man is rebellious. Man is separated from God and in desperate need of redemption. Now, I've got a reason for going through that, and we're just starting. I've got a couple of news stories that are important, but we need to understand the difference in worldviews before we can interpret these news stories. That's what this program is all about. Interpreting current events from a biblical worldview. Well, we got to establish a biblical worldview before we can interpret current events. And we're going to continue doing that when we return.
Talk radio that makes a difference. Makes a difference. This is Bob Burney Live.
You know, if you were listening a few minutes ago, I actually misspoke as I was thinking about it during the break. I said a biblical worldview actually begins with the fall of man and man's need for redemption. That's not technically true. A biblical worldview begins with God, and He is the Creator, and He created mankind, the earth, the universe, all for His pleasure. He created mankind for fellowship. He created us for His pleasure, for His enjoyment. So, in other words, we exist for God. That is a biblical worldview. As a part of that, there's the fall of man, the man's need for redemption, the fallen nature, and so forth. But a biblical worldview begins with God, the creator, the sovereign of the universe, and everything exists for Him. All right, now we have the secular humanist worldview. Now, let me make this very clear. The secular humanist worldview is held by secular humanists, but also by almost all liberal Christians. Wait a minute. You mean liberal Christians have the same worldview as atheists and secularists and humanists? Yeah, basically. Let me explain. The secular humanist worldview begins with the goodness of man, not the fallen nature of man, but the goodness of man. Man is inherently good. If they claim to be Christians or religious, they will say, well, they're good because they're created in the image of God. Every man, every woman bears the image of God. And in order for that image of God to flourish, they just need to be encouraged. They just need to be put in the right circumstances. They just need to have people tell them how good they are, how wonderful they are. And if they are affirmed enough, then in time, they will take on the image of God and they'll be good people because their heart is good. They're inherently good. We hear this all the time. Mankind is basically good. Well, then why do we have so many bad people? Bad circumstances, bad childhood, unfortunate circumstances, poverty. Oh, that's a big one. That's a big one. Poverty makes people bad. It's not that they are inherently bad. It's no, they're inherently good. They just didn't get the right breaks. They weren't raised in a good home. They didn't have a good education. And they didn't have enough money. So the secular worldview, the humanist worldview, the liberal Christian worldview is almost diametrically opposed to a true biblical or truly Christian worldview. And so you interpret everything dependent upon your worldview. So if there's a whole bunch of bad stuff and evil stuff happening in a neighborhood or a community, it's not because they desperately need God and there are a bunch of fallen people acting like fallen people and they've got an evil heart that needs to be redeemed and regenerated. And they need repentance and they need God. No, 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 no. We need to give them money. We need to give them a better education. We need to get them better jobs. Now, all of those things are fine, education, jobs, and so forth, but that is never the answer. Not if you have a biblical worldview. So this is the basic difference in how we treat crime. We don't need police. We don't need courts. We don't need jails. These are just people that have gotten a bad break, and we just need to tell them how wonderful they are. And if we just keep telling them how wonderful they are and give them more and more money, we won't need police. Get rid of the police. You see, a biblical worldview says, there is evil in the world, and evil has always had a need to be restrained. On the national level, that's why we have Romans chapter 13. You check that out sometime. So ultimately then, if you believe in a God, from a secular humanist worldview, if you purport to be a Christian, if you purport to be to believe in God, well then God ultimately exists to make us happy. God exists for our benefit. God just wants us to be happy. God wants us to do whatever we want to do. That's the way God is. He's just a loving, kind, gracious old man in the clouds with a big flowing beard. And he just wants people to be happy. And so whatever you need to do to be happy, God doesn't care. In fact, God will even help you. So one worldview says we exist for God. The other worldview says God exists for us. So the secular humanist worldview does not care about the commands of God, the demands of God, the commandments of God. They don't care about that because that's not the God that they serve. The God they serve doesn't really care what they do as long as they can pursue their own happiness and their own fulfillment. So I guess to summarize, in a biblical worldview, we are created in God's image to serve and honor him. In a humanist worldview, God was created in our image so God can be whatever we want him to be, whatever we desire him to be, and he exists for our benefit. Now, I've taken a long, long time to lay that foundation, and forgive me. But unless we understand that, nothing else makes sense. Now, when we come back, I have a couple of news stories. And now that I hope we have established the difference between worldviews, these news stories will make more sense. I hope. Hang with me. We'll be right back.